while looking at his half-naked body. Elda cleared his throat, his fingers twitching by his sides.
I hear Michaels came to see you this evening.
Does your staff report everything I do?
Not everything about you has to be such a bloody secret, Pym.
Rolling his eyes as I crossed my arms, he moved to shut the side of the ship and leaned against the railing.
I also heard you didn't approve of my decor and decided to do a bit of home improvement, on an empty stomach, I might add.
My arms tightened around myself. Is that a crime? I didn't know why I antagonized him. If he hadn't hurt me yet, why push and push, waiting for him to do the exact same thing I didn't want him to do? What would a psychologist say? What would my mother say? It didn't matter that I was raised with the matters of the mind. Sorting out another's issues was easy. Guessing their concerns wasn't nearly as hard as diagnosing my own. Elder looked me up and down.
I'm fully aware that your tongue isn't healed and speech is still impossible, but you could give me what you gave Michaels.
My legs jerked, causing one of my feet to slip off the bollard. He told Elder I nodded for him. What happened to patient confidentiality?
He didn't tell me what you discussed or even how you communicated. He just said you answered his questions.
He rubbed his head again, dispelling another shower of sea.
I want to know how you answered him and why you won't answer me.
My shoulders hunched even as my swollen tongue itched. I'd done what Michaels had asked of me. After he'd gone, I'd eaten every mouthful of soup and bite of fluffy rice that a friendly-faced maid had brought in. I even sucked down a berry and banana smoothie and forced my very full stomach to tolerate the chocolate mousse. So much food, much of it too sweet. But the range of savory, sweet, and starch did wonders for my depleted system. Within an hour, I didn't feel so jittery or teary-eyed. My sad confusion faded, leaving curiosity in its wake. Hence my hesitant exploration and expedition onto the deck of Elder's prized yacht.
Pimlico.
His growl echoed in the night.
I asked a question. Answer me.
My nostrils flared. It didn't work like that. Michaels had found me at my weakest. He'd been kind to me, and I respected that kindness. It wasn't a weakness to answer him. A curse fell from Elder's lips.
I'd hoped not to see you again until your tongue was healed. Do you know why?
His gaze shot me with ebony arrows. That question demanded a yes or no answer. But still, I remained mute.
Because...
He snarled.
If I knew your tongue was better, I would force you to speak. You expect me to hurt you? Well, perhaps I will if it means you'll finally tell me what I want.
You do, and it will make you just like him. I bared my teeth, showing more emotion than I meant. You do, and I'll clamp up and never utter a word to you. He sighed, his face softening.
That would make me just like him, wouldn't it?
I breathed hard as he battled for calmness.
And then I wouldn't deserve your voice.
Pushing off the rail, he came closer. The moon shone behind him, etching him in silver silhouette.
Fine, Silent Mouse. Keep your quietness a little longer. Let me prove to you I do deserve your voice.
Ever so slowly, he took my hand, pulling it away from my knee with a sharp tug. I couldn't fight him. Even though I tried, my suspicions about his intentions flared. Was this the first point of initiation? Did he hate that I trespassed on his time out here and would make me pay for it? Only, his finger slipped through mine, cool and slightly sticky from seawater.
This isn't working for either of us.
I sucked my bottom lip as he curled his hand tighter, holding it like any normal introduction. Like the introduction I'd refused when Ulrich had ordered me to shake his hand.
I think we should start again, don't you?
His fingers tightened around mine, activating the warmth inside me into a scalding heat.
I think you should stop doubting me. Learn to know me with no judgment clouding your mind.
I tugged, but he didn't let me go.
In return, I'll give you the time you need. I won't force you. And I won't get angry when you deny me my answers.
His lips pulled into a half-smile.
For a short while, at least.
Our hands grew hot, searing together the longer we touched. Fire licked down my arm, tickly and foreign, hissing through my spine and into my already hot belly.
Do we have a deal?
Just like the decision to nod for Michaels was hard, this was even harder. Harder because there was no going back from this. It wasn't just a nod, but an oath to trust him. And I hadn't trusted anyone in so long. Those I had trusted turned out to hurt me the most. Don't fear the future. Only endure the present. Michael's wisdom was what made me squeeze his hand in return and very reluctantly nod. Elder sucked in a breath, a sinful smile on his face.
Thank you for finally agreeing to give me a chance.
Memories of him coming back for me, of his livid anger at my bleeding tongue, and tender strength as he carried me out of hell wrenched through my doubt. In my twisted emotions, I'd forgotten one thing, how to be grateful. He deserved my thanks, and I hadn't given it to him. I'd been rude and distrustful and ruined his property, yet he hadn't raised a hand to me. Trust would be very hard to earn from me, but short-term thanks wouldn't be. My mother had raised me better than that. I had manners, somewhere. I just had to remember how to use them. Pulling my hand from his, I paused, then ever so hesitantly. I placed my fingertips on his damp chest, right where the snout of his dragon protected his heart. I let thanks fill my gaze. I tightened my fingers a little, sinking my fingernails into his skin. Not to draw blood, but to show the depth of what I wanted to say. Thank you, Elder. He shuddered beneath my touch, his black eyes in eclipse. He didn't remove my touch, barreling through our locked gazes, as if he heard every syllable I didn't utter. Finally, his lips smiled in the darkness. His voice wrapped around me, promising a better tomorrow, now we'd drawn battle lines.
You're welcome, Pimlico.
Lying in bed that night, I couldn't stop Elder from starring in my thoughts. After we'd lingered under the moonlight, and he'd accepted my gratitude, he grabbed my wrist and pulled my touch away. Without a word, he strolled down the deck and disappeared downstairs. I followed a few minutes afterward, still lost and afraid, but not quite as rageful as I'd been. Unable to fall asleep, even after an emotionally draining few days, I pulled the notepad and pen toward me and poured my heart to the one friend who I trusted impeccably. Dear no one, my life has changed. How many times did I wish for that? But what happens if the change wasn't what I expected? What if I didn't go home to my family? What if I now face yet another trial, another man, another ownership? Was it stupid of me to admit that if Elder stole me to protect me from Ulrich, I would be content to be his? Is it wrong of me to back out of such an admission so soon? I have so many questions, no one, and nobody to ask. Who am I anymore? Who do I want to be? What will become of me when my tongue heals and nothing but my stubbornness keeps me silent? The moment I scrawled the last question mark, my eyes drooped as if my mind had only kept me awake to spew out the disease-like questions. I didn't even place the notepad and pen on the bedside table. I did the only thing I could. I sprawled out on the pillows and fell into a deep, delicious sleep, where Elder waited, promising not to hurt me.
Chapter 14, Elder. A truce had formed. Too fucking bad I had to leave before making it solid. After leaving Pimlico on the deck last night, I checked my emails before retiring and found an urgent one from my warehouse in Monaco. I was needed for an issue the manager did not wish to discuss via electronic correspondence. So, as any good CEO and leader would do, I replied saying I would be there first thing in the morning, and made the arrangements with the pilot on staff to ready the helicopter. Anger curled in my stomach, wondering if this was the moment my past caught up with me. I'd been hunted before. Had I been found again? By 9 a.m., we were airborne over the Mediterranean, flying to my shipbuilder empire and the port I'd wanted to stop in but didn't have time between our commitments. At least I had wings this time. Wings were faster than sails, and it meant I could do both with no ill effects. Knowing Pim was on an armored yacht far away from whatever mess I was about to walk into, I disembarked the helicopter and stepped onto firm ground. A mixture of repulsion and relief flooded me. I liked it here. In fact, Monaco was the only place on land where I genuinely felt at peace. However, I was never fully free without the undulating power of water beneath my toes, especially if my sins had finally caught up with me. What if you don't return? I shut that thought off immediately. It didn't matter that I left without a word. It didn't matter if I never went back for her. Pim wasn't my equal. She didn't need to know my whereabouts or me to ask fucking permission. But the truce would stand. In fact, the time away would only work to my advantage because her tongue would have another few hours of healing before we met again. Nodding at my manager, Carlton Thomas, I strode from the helipad and into the huge warehouse where floating dreams were made. What seems to be the problem? Carlton gnawed on his bottom lip, his eyes darting away in panic. All thoughts of Pimlico vanished as he whispered, "There's been a murder."
Chapter 15. Pimlico. He left without a word. He stayed away for 2 nights, 3 days. In that time I had good hours and bad. I ate what was delivered, and each meal was slightly easier than the last. Dr. Michaels visited me again to ensure my tongue was healing, and the swelling continued to abate as my body rehabilitated. I wrote notes to no one before tossing them out to sea, as if the ocean had become my own personal wishing well for things I could never have. No matter the peace I was given or the safety in which I hovered, I still didn't trust those around me. Even the girl who came to clean my room and dole out fresh towels was kept at a distance. However, if she didn't like to natter while working, nerves caused by my silence, I would never have known Elder had left and wasn't just sulking somewhere on his giant ship. I'd never heard the helicopter take off. I didn't even know there was one. And once the maid left that first morning, I'd sat on the balcony staring at the sky, looking for a speck of the returning craft. Thoughts of pillaging Elder's office for clues on how to end my captivity taunted me. I remembered the password he'd had me type before calling my mother on his phone. I had a way to contact the outside world. I think. I desperately wanted to know more about him. The second afternoon, when I'd given into the stupid urge to snoop, I'd spent hours stalking the corridors for his workspace. But I hadn't found it, thanks to locked doors and no skills at lockpicking. And even if I had managed to break into his domain and read his emails, or understood what he kept hidden, what would that achieve? We were in the middle of the ocean. Apart from knocking out countless staff and learning how to fire a flare or call the Coast Guard, I wasn't equipped to go to battle with him. I wasn't lazy or fearful. I liked to think it was smart to bide my time and let Elder grant more snippets of his life. Already he'd given me clues in the way he acted and the respectful way his staff went about their chores, even though he wasn't here to oversee. They worked diligently because he deserved it, not because he commanded it. A tyrant wouldn't have such loyalty. And I was willing to give him more time before I made up my mind. Everyone was worthy of that, even men who owned another's life, especially a man who'd saved another's life. I was aware my thoughts were a walking contradiction. By the third evening, when the Phantom had passed inlets and peninsulas, and other yachts nowhere near as fine sailed through our wake, the faint wop-wop of flying machinery sounded. As the sun set over the sea, a sleek helicopter appeared on the horizon, slowly growing larger the closer it came. My heart did a weird pole vault dismount. I couldn't decide if it was a death roll or a somersault of expectation. Either way, Elda had somehow gotten under my skin without even being here. The helicopter hovering over the stern of the ship was deafening, even with the constant hum of boat engines. Leaving my spot on the balcony, I padded naked across my bedroom to head upon deck and witness the arrival of the man who called me his. I cracked open my door and came eye to eye with the young steward vacuuming the corridor. I looked down at the state of my undress. He gaped like a mouth-breathing idiot, and as much as it amplified my discomfort to wear clothing, I had to start accepting the habit for the other's sake. Closing the door, I headed to the wardrobe and selected the oversized black dress I'd worn to dinner. Holding my breath, I slipped it over my head. Fighting the disgust as the soft cotton cocooned me, I pulled out my hair and let it drape down my back, hopefully hiding some of the whip marks and heavy scars left there permanently. Now suitable, I left my suite and headed down the corridor to the lift. Once the mirrored elevator arrived, I pressed the top button for the outside deck and waited impatiently, pressing my tongue on the roof of my mouth, activating a tiny sliver of sensation. A few levels higher, the lift spat me out in a glass-fronted walkway. I left springy carpet and my toes kissed polished wood as I left inside for outside. The helicopter was still winding down, its rotors barely still. Crew dashed around placing ropes and pulleys, strapping the machine to this mega water city. A few noticed me, one even waved. But no man with hair as black as nightmares and eyes as lethal as snipers appeared. I waited to see if the cabin door would open, but squinting in the twilight I only saw one person remaining, the pilot. Elda had arrived and already vanished. I didn't let myself sigh with disappointment. Instead, I sucked in a breath and headed back the way I came. So what? I hadn't seen him. What did I expect? That I'd welcome him home like some besotted lover? That he would want to see me after my desire to be left alone? As the lift opened its maw, welcoming me into its belly, I changed my mind. I didn't want walls and ceilings to swaddle me anymore. I wanted the wildness of the sea, the snap of the wind, and the freedom of air and sky. Chapter 16. Pimlico. I woke to the strangest smell, something that reminded me of bad decisions and stupid teenage recklessness. Sweet and pungent and wrong. My eyes cracked as the call of seabirds heading to roost echoed across the night sky. Night? When had it become so dark? Unfurling myself from where I'd napped in a wrapped-up lifeboat, I stretched. The canvas covering the boat made a perfect hammock. I'd commandeered it after forgoing the lift and staying up on deck. It was only supposed to be for a few minutes, but it seemed tiredness had other ideas. I don't remember falling asleep. Chills scattered over my arm, coldness heavy in my blood. A noise made my ears twitch as my nose wrinkled against the familiar sweet stench. Holding my breath, I looked over the side of my twilight hideaway. There, haloed by deck lights and stars, was Elda. He stood with his elbows on the railing looking out to sea, one ankle cocked over the other. He wore black slacks and a cream shirt with the sleeves tugged to the middle of his forearms. He looked powerful and refined, but all of that was a lie judging by the cigarette between his lips and the cloud of smoke dispersing overhead. He smokes. Why had I never smelt tobacco on him? Another whiff of earthy flavor hit my nostrils. Because it's not tobacco. Marijuana. So he doesn't drink, but he smokes pot? Could there be any bigger contradiction?
I know you're there.
His voice was low but carried weighty on the breeze.
The captain informed me of a woman dressed in black sleeping in his lifeboat.
Turning around, he inhaled more smoke, gray fog slipping erotically through his lips.
I told him I'd check it out, make sure we had no unwanted stowaways.
I sat up, shifting to position myself on my knees. My tongue was half the size it was the day he left, but still tender, as I fought to yawn and stared instead. He followed my eyes.
You can ask.
His face darkened.
In fact, if you open your mouth and ask me what I'm doing with marijuana, I'll give you the honest-to-God's truth. I'll tell you more than I've ever told anyone, just by asking that one question.
Silence was heavy and potent between us. What was his truth? Why hadn't he told anyone? What secrets could he possibly be harboring? Attraction that I'd ignored webbed tight around us. He breathed hard as if afraid I'd take him up on his offer, while part of him begged me to.
Go on. No one knows what I am, what I've done. You ask, and you'll be the first and only.
He pressed the joint against his lips, inhaling deep.
You hold all the power in the situation, Pim. One little word and all my fucking secrets are yours.
My lips stretched to form the words, but my tongue sat heavy and unwilling. Shaking my head slightly, I looked away, doing my best to ignore the way the curling smoke from his mouth made me feel. I never thought of smoking as sexy. I'd grown up in an age where every establishment banned cigarettes, and the culture turned it into a nasty, awful habit that was killing not only them, but also their loved ones. I agreed with it being a death stick, but Elder was smoking weed, a plant. He smoked it in such a way he looked like he needed it, not just used it for the sake of using. His head cocked, waiting for me to find the balls or overcome the pain to ask. I doubted he'd give me an opportunity like this one again. I had the power to skip ahead, to jump the superficial getting to know each other and steal his biggest confession. After all, he owed me. He'd read my notes to no one. He knew how I thought and reacted to pressure. I had no idea how his mind worked. And now, my curiosity was even worse because weed was a relaxant, a painkiller in the medical world, given to those who needed help to survive. Was he in emotional or physical pain? And why did I want to know so badly? He said no one else knows. No one. The fact he'd chosen to tempt me with the title of my salvation wasn't lost on me. Was it a trick, or the first honest-to-God raw reality he'd shown? Climbing from the lifeboat, my feet didn't make a sound as I padded toward him and clutched the railing, my eyes locked on the empty blackness all around us. He didn't say a word, merely dragged deeper on his home-rolled cigarette, encouraging the end to flare red, before exhaling and clouding the moon with vapor. We stood like that for moments, wrapped in quietness and for once not caring. He never offered me a drag, and I never asked. I doubted Michaels would approve of smoking inhalation when my tongue was healing so well. However, I inhaled whenever Elder exhaled, stealing a little of the sickly sweet, willing it to numb me a little, to steal the questions driving me insane, to grant me a little of the syrupy calm. Finally, when the joint had become too small to hold, Elder flicked the button to the ocean. The small red dot twirled and twirled until it hit the water below. The second it extinguished, he turned to me, his eyes shredding mine.
You wouldn't break your silence to make me talk, yet you're still here.
He licked his bottom lip.
Why is that?
I kept eye contact, not moving.
Did you miss me?
I gave him a tight smile.
I take that as a no.
I blinked. You're wrong. No, you're right. I had missed him in an odd way. My dreams had featured him, and my days had been fraught with thoughts of the way his fingers manipulated paper as I stroked his origami sailboat. I'd suffered unwanted questions of what it would be like to be touched by fingers that could conjure life from dollar bills. My body repelled against the fleeting curiosity, even as my heart put on its armor and prepared to do whatever it took to find out. I didn't miss what you represent, but I did miss the fragments of the man behind the monster.
Fuck, this is harder than I thought it would be.
His hand curled over the railing.
Look, I've had a few rough days. Normally, I wouldn't smoke, but it's the only thing that works around you.
Around me? That admission made my belly clench. No man had ever admitted I'd made them weak just by existing. His face tightened, the anger I'd witnessed at dinner returning.
Don't think you can use that to your advantage, Pim. It only puts you in a precarious position.
Pinching the bridge of his nose, he muttered,
It's only fair to warn you I won't be good company tonight. In fact, you should go.
Go? Why? His jaw hardened, seeing my question in the jolt of my shoulders.
I can't guarantee I'll keep my promises if you don't.
My heart stopped. Promises to keep me safe? Promises not to touch me? The moon cast his face in silver sin. His brow shadowed his eyes until all I saw was black matching the black around us.
Leave, Pimlico. I wish to be alone.
My feet glued to the deck. Why did he want me to go? Because he had a tyrant inside him he couldn't control? Would he snap and hurt me after he assured me he wouldn't? If the demons I sensed inside him were closer to the surface tonight, I should run. I should hide. But that would only make the future worse. I might have agreed not to worry about what tomorrow would bring, but if I could find out the worst now, so I could stop fearing, then it would be better for my sanity. Puffing out my chest, I stood my ground. He growled under his breath.
You truly are the most stubborn woman I've ever met.
Woman, not slave, not orphan or pet. Woman.
Have it your way.
Reaching for his shirt buttons, Elder undid them with dexterous fingers. The moment the cream material flapped around his sides, once again revealing that magical dragon protecting his bare ribs and internal organs, he dropped his hands to his belt. He gave me a wicked look.
Fair warning, Silent One. I've been away for 3 days. I only went prepared for one. Know what that means?
I swallowed as his fingers undid his belt, followed by his zipper. The flash of skin was a shock after expecting underwear.
I didn't take spare boxers with me.
Holding his trousers with one hand, he kicked off his shoes and tugged off his socks.
Run now, unless you secretly want to see me like I've seen you. Do you want to see what I hide under clothes? See the true beast I am? Is that why you're more comfortable naked? Because the truth can always be concealed in trousers and suits, and nakedness it can't?
My heart plucked ancient glasses and put them on, ready, despite myself, to gawk. My gaze kept skittering from his face to the waistband he held up.
Fine. You won't run. I won't make you.
Without a care, he dropped his trousers, stepping out of them like a royal prince. My mouth parted at his size. He wasn't erect, but his cock hung heavy and dangerous, protected by a manicured area of black curls.
Strange to be on the other end.
He smirked.
Odd that I'm naked and you're dressed, and for some reason, I feel like I'm the one with all the power.
He lowered his head.
Perhaps that's why you like to be naked, because you enjoy the way people are distracted by you.
Striding past me, his scent and the cloying aroma of marijuana trailed after him as he unlocked the railing that revealed the ladder. His ass didn't have an inch of fat, firm and tight, graced with the rest of the dragon's tail on his left cheek. I expected him to turn to face me and climb down the ladder like a rational person from such a height. He bared his teeth over his shoulder.
If you have any balls left, girl, come join me.
His arms spread, his legs bunched. He threw himself off the side. I rushed over, just in time to see him somersault and dive into the black crystal below.
Chapter 17, Elder. Fuck yes. The minute the cold slap of water splashed over my head, the tension of the past few days dissolved. The awful memory of hard asphalt and dirt receded as my body once again remembered the beat and rhythm of the sea. Letting the depths cradle me, I held my breath until my lungs screeched for oxygen. Not for the first time, I wished I could dive and dive and never come back up, to somehow find a way to exist in the inky blackness. and start a new world where no one knew what I'd done and no family disowned me. My business on Monaco ought to have been, if not fun, then marginally enjoyable. But that was before I'd arrived to find a boat carver had died thanks to a slash to his neck with a rasp. If the murder of one of my staff was retribution for my past, I wouldn't rest until I'd killed or been killed. My manager, Carlton, had been the one to find the corpse. He hadn't informed the police or anyone but me. He'd done well, and I'd be the one to create another corpse in response to the crime. The first day was spent with the dead man's family, inquiring about grudges and enemies. The second was spent stalking a certain newcomer who was friends with the man's son. He'd been caught stealing the dead man's grocery money the week before. It was a simple matter after that of giving the young murderer enough rope to hang himself. I didn't know if I was grateful it was a simple greed attack or pissed off that it wasn't in retaliation to me. I'd been waiting fucking years for this farce to be over and face them. After an interrogation that started off cruel and ended brutal, I learned that this minor disagreement was the cause of a spineless coward who thought he could take things that didn't belong to him, including a life. I wouldn't be surprised if he'd done this before, but now I'd found him and he would never do it again. I killed him, the same way he killed my master boat builder. I ignored the similarities over him taking what he wanted and me taking Pym. I never said I was a saint, but at least I'd cleaned up my business before it became messy. Once I'd washed the blood from my hands and ensured my factory ran like clockwork, I boarded my helicopter and came home. To her.
Chapter 18. Pimlico. Decide, Pym. Right here. Right now. Elder had given me a choice as he plummeted into the abyss. He laid down a challenge that until a few days ago I would never have risen to. But now. Now I was more Tamsin than Pimlico. More daring than afraid. It's time for me to start believing in myself again. My hands shook as I tore off the unwanted dress. My head fell back as freedom kissed my skin, and panic washed over my healing tongue and down my throat as I moved to the edge of the yacht. Right here, right now. Decide. My toes inched over the edge of the deck. I took a deep breath and leapt.
Chapter 19. Elder. A splash wrenched me from the deep. Kicking hard, I broke the surface, earning a face full of sea froth as something landed beside me. What the? Moonlight and stars were a sorry excuse for lights, but the ghostly glow of the yacht gave just enough illumination. As Pimlico erupted from the ocean, her dark hair now black, her skin white, and fading bruises marble and slate in the night. My mouth opened, pouring uninvited salt into my lungs. Holy fuck. She jumped. She'd had the guts even from such a height. This girl who battled me silently and somehow unraveled my level of control yet again surprised me. I couldn't take my eyes off her as she spat out a mouthful of ocean and spread her arms to stay afloat. After everything she'd been through, she was still one of the most beautiful women I'd ever seen. Her very injuries were what made her fucking stunning. The delicate starkness of her collarbone, the arch of her chin, and resolute distrust and unfailing strength in her blue gaze. In the 3 days I'd left her, she'd eaten and rested. Her skin had taken on a porcelain glow, no longer sallow or unwell. She was healing, accepting my care, even if she did continuously search for what I would expect in return. You jumped. My voice was thicker than I intended as my gaze traveled to her mottled chest, where that fucking bastard had hurt her. The dark water hid everything else, but my mind remembered how willowy she was when naked, even while on her knees or hunched for a reprimand. When she was nude, Pym was no longer a recovering slave, but a goddess slowly learning to live again. It fucking hurt that the obsession inside wanted to take that life and bend it to my will, to use her strength for my benefit, to master her power for my own. I'd hoped the joint I smoked would have taken the edge off tonight, having yet more blood on my hands and the intolerable urge to rip Pimlico apart, to learn her secrets, drove me insane. I didn't smoke often, but the thick lethargy that normally came from inhaling cannabis was muted tonight. Yes, it affected me a little. I'd meant what I said about her not being safe around me. However, the slight buzz in my veins meant I could tolerate her being close without risking myself or her for now. Pimlico twirled in the water, facing the behemoth looming over us. Her lips parted as if shocked she'd actually done it. God damn it, I wished I hadn't been underwater. I would have killed to see her standing there, naked and poised, battling her fear and winning. Brushing away droplets from my eyes, I grinned. Was it frightening or exhilarating? She turned back to face me, pride shining in her gaze. She obviously hadn't thought what jumping would mean. That she'd be down here, swimming with a man she shouldn't trust. What made you do it? I treaded water, keeping a couple of meters between us. Was it the thought that you'd survived worse than heights, or the fact that if you landed wrong, the worst that could happen would be a broken back? Her eyes widened. Perhaps you hadn't thought about the broken back. Her lips pressed together. I wanted to order her to open her mouth, to show me how her tongue looked. I'd done my own research on tongue injuries, and according to medical papers online, that particular muscle healed faster than others. Her swelling should be mostly gone. She should be able to talk, soon. The tide whipped us this way and that with gentle currents, some hot, some cool. Pimlico tired quickly, her arms waving in the water, fighting to stay buoyant. How long is it since you've swum? Her eyes narrowed, but her blue gaze shot answers. Answers that signified a long time. Other questions trailed on the back of that one, but I let them go. I could interrogate her later, when she wasn't using her energy to stay alive. Kicking, I propelled myself forward, closing the couple of meters separating us. Every day you surprise me. Her gaze widened, her eyes trailing from my nose to my lips, to my chin. The way she watched me made my body harden beneath the waves. Perhaps by admitting that, I'd surprised her in return. Are you feeling better? A current pushed me forward, closing the final distance between us. I'd been in her company enough now not to expect a reply. However, her barely noticeable nod overrode the pot in my system, making my heart race. I'm glad. We stared at each other, neither of us looking away. Either fate was working with us for once, or Pimlico deliberately swam closer. So close, her body heat warmed me through the tide only centimeters away. We both sucked in a breath as the ocean bumped us together, bare skin to bare skin. Pim silently gasped, her arms spreading like wings to push away. I didn't know if it was the relaxant drug or my intolerable urge to know her, but my leg moved forward, wrapping around hers. She jolted as I pulled her forward, my ankle curled around hers. My left arm came up, looping around her lower back. She shuddered as the rest of the ocean was deleted, sandwiching our nakedness together. I gritted my teeth as her soft breasts and tiny form wedged against my bulk. Fuck. Her gaze glittered in the dark as her hands landed on my shoulders, pushing me down to keep herself above the waves, trying to break my embrace. I just held on. My legs worked harder to keep us afloat. But I had no intention of releasing her when she felt so goddamn good. We didn't say a word as we hovered in the water, glaring at each other, trying to decide what should come next. I'd toyed with her at Ulrich's. I'd asked for a night with her because I was fucking attracted to her. Not to her skinny body and abuse, but to the soul inside. the soul that had almost flickered out. I wanted her. So fucking much. My heritage spoke of contradictory things. There were arranged marriages in my family. And then there was true love. My great-grandparents had been an arranged marriage, but my mother and father, that had been kismet, and the ideal on which my childhood fantasies about love were based. They were born for each other, no question, which was why I was cursed for what I did. Pimlico wriggled in my grip. My dulled senses couldn't prevent the exquisite sensation of her warm skin interspersing with cold liquid on my body. I groaned, loudly. I was so bloody thankful I'd smoked before she'd found me. There was no way I could have tolerated holding her this close without losing my goddamn mind. Even with the thick fog of calm, I still struggled to keep the addiction at bay. To avoid admitting that I'd wanted this girl since I met her, and that desire wasn't fading, it was only amplifying. The one kiss and touch I'd permitted myself were no longer enough. Not at all. She licked her lips, questions drowning her that I wanted her to ask so I could ask my own. "Is this another first for you, Pim?" I whispered, reminding her of the intimacy between us when I'd kissed her that night. How I'd touched her and painted erotic images in both our minds about delivering pleasure she'd never had. "The first time a man has held you without sticking his cock inside you the moment he could?" The sexually violent question made her muscles lock. She flinched, digging her fingernails into my shoulders. I should let her go. I shouldn't ask such things. I couldn't help myself. "You never answered me what other firsts you've been denied. I think it's time we deleted a few." My eyes locked onto her lips. "I brought you here for a reason. Perhaps that reason was to fuck you out of my system." Her breathing caught. My cock hardened at the shock on her face, followed by a contorted mix of disgust, loathing, and fear. I'd never had a woman look at me with such a recipe of hate. Shit, it turned me on. My leg tightened around hers, forcing my aching dick to press against her hollow stomach. She gasped, turning rigid in my arms. "Don't worry, I won't break another promise tonight." I traced my fingertip over her forearm. "I've already broken a few by touching you. Best to keep the rest for another time." Her foot kicked, doing its best to dislodge me. "Doesn't mean I won't take other things from you, though." I knew the right thing to do would be to let her go. She'd requested, in her silent way, to end this. And I would. Just not quite yet. Cupping her nape, I brought her forehead to nudge against mine. Nuzzling her with my nose, I let go of my self-control, allowing the intense intoxication I always lived with to escape. "Do you know what I'd do if your tongue was healed?" I didn't know if it was her, the pot, or the night swim, but I was free for the first time in a very long time. Her nostrils flared as if expecting me to request her voice again. However, that wasn't the reason I wished her tongue was cured. Not right now. Sandwiching her breasts against my chest, I breathed. "I wish it was healed so I could kiss you." Her gasp was audible this time, sending my heart bucking. "So she does have vocal cords." She could speak. How had stubbornness and silence kept her alive for so long? She stared harder. Fear, mistrust, hatred, even annoyance crossed her face. Her gaze darted to my lips as I deliberated kissing her despite her denial. Some of her annoyance faded, replaced with feathery breathing, brushing her nipples against my chest. I swallowed my groan as the same hint of vacancy overrode her mistrust. Shutters clamped down over her soul, protecting her the same way she did with Ulrich, while at the same time sacrificing herself to whatever I wanted. "It doesn't work that way. Not with me." My free arm cut angrily through the water. "You think you can compartmentalize your feelings? That you can give me your body, but not your mind?" She bit her lip, her dark hair swirling in the tide. I didn't like the judgmental way she watched me, already condemning me to hell. Bringing her face closer, I whispered harshly, "When I kiss you again, you'll want me to kiss you. You won't look as if I'm taking something from you. You'll beg me to give you something you desperately want." Dragging my lips over her salty cheekbone, I ordered my body to behave, even as our legs bumped and my cock jerked to sink inside her, if only to prove a point. To show her sex felt fucking awesome, even if she hadn't experienced such ecstasy yet. She's not ready. As much as I wanted to rush ahead and take her, I refused to damage her psyche when her thoughts were more valuable to me than her body. My fingers looped around her seaweed hair, tightening just enough to wrench her head back. "I order you to forget everything that that bastard did to you. None of that was sex. That was abuse. And it won't happen again. You're a woman beneath whatever slave he turned you into. And when I fucking kiss you, I expect a woman to kiss me back, not a slave to shut me out. Do you understand?" She flinched, her eyelashes sparkling with droplets. Her jaw worked, but beneath her rage, the mildest form of agreement glowed. She wanted to be normal. Despite her fighting me, she secretly hoped I'd smash her cage and teach her how to be free. Well, I'd help her be normal, but not tonight. Her body softened infinitesimally as she licked her lips. My cock immediately reacted, understanding her message. In some small part of her, she wanted me to kiss her. Tongue stitches, black ocean, and whatever chaos existed between us be damned. Fuck. It took all my strength to shove her away from me. "Good night. I trust you can find your own way back." She sucked in a breath as I relinquished her to the ocean. For a moment, she frowned, then shook her head with a scowl. I chuckled. "Is that disappointment, Silent One?" Her scowl turned into a snort. "Despite what you think, you already look at me differently. You might hate the thought of what I'll one day do to you. You might fear the thought of my cock inside you and my body smothering yours. But a small part of you wants me to do it." She jolted. A small splash from her fingers decorated the blackness. I cocked my head. "Why is that? So you can stop wondering who I am and label me as the same as your previous master? Or..." I rubbed my lips in promise. "Is it because you're sick of pain and want pleasure instead?" She scoffed, her arms spreading wide to swim away. I should shut my mouth and let her go, but I liked making her uncomfortable. Words wouldn't leave scars, but they could slice open old ones. "Beware of what you wish for, Pim." I lowered my voice, thick and heavy over the waves. "Next time I kiss you, you'll be wet and feel pleasure you've long since been denied. You'll come. I won't tolerate otherwise." Her head tilted up in defiance, coupled with the tentative hope that I could achieve what I'd promised. That when I took her, it wouldn't be rape, but entirely consensual and mutually enjoyed. Ducking underwater, she vanished. I didn't panic, counting the wet thuds of my heart in the eardrum created by the sea. A few moments later, her head broke the surface by the phantom. Grabbing the bottom ladder rung, she hauled herself from the depths and shimmied up the side of my yacht, broken hand and all. Fuck, what a woman! Her naked ass as she climbed was as perfect and inviting as the moon.
Chapter 20. Pimlico. What the hell is he doing? What the hell am I doing? What the hell happened to me last night? First, I jumped off the damn yacht. Second, I didn't shut down when he gathered me against his wet, naked body. Third, I didn't blush when he spoke about sex and coming. And fourth, and this was the worst one, fourth, when he'd pulled me close as if to kiss me. I'd wanted him to. For a split second I forgot how much I hated sex and remembered how good he'd made me feel at the White Mansion. I wanted to feel that again. I wanted to feel that way all the time, because then I wouldn't have to feel everything else. Every bruise, every bone. I could forget. But then he'd pulled away and growled rules and regulations, warning me I wasn't a slave he wanted. Yet he wanted the woman I could become. Only, I don't know who that is. All I knew was that while in his care, I'd had the gift of sunshine and travel and wind. I'd wished upon stars not hidden behind glass, and my skin became honey-kissed from being outside, rather than pasty, sickly white. I wasn't stupid. Every gift would have to be paid back. I just expected him to demand payment now, while I was still subservient and very aware of my place as a pleasure toy. Why would he want me to be any different? If he let me continue gluing my shattered pieces together, I'd be like normal women. I'd have opinions and rules of my own. I might not let him sleep with me. Was that what he wanted? The challenge, the chase. A girl to fight him rather than a slave to submit. But why? If he wanted a relationship, why hadn't he met someone in a bar or however free people met these days? Why me? Why piss off my dead owner for one night with me, with the intention of fucking me with force, only to let me sleep unmolested, then bring me back to life? It doesn't make any sense. I clutched my head. Stop it. Focus on the present, remember? The future does not matter. It can't matter. Not when you have no control over it. Breathing hard, my finger slipped from my skull to my lap. Whatever Elder's endgame was, I had to admit, he'd started something between us that terrified me. Whenever he was around, my insides twisted and liquefied, mostly from intense awareness in case he snapped, but partly due to that damn kiss between us. What had he done? How did he switch the frigid ice in my blood to a cozy fire? I didn't know. And as much as I tugged on teenage memories of chatting with girlfriends about which pop stars got us wet and what fantasies made us hot, I still struggled with hating sex. I shouldn't want sex. I didn't want sex. But Elder, he was different. I want him. Not in the physical sense. But his disappearance the past few days had shown me I wanted to be near him. He terrified me, yes. But he terrified other people too, and while he was around, I was safe. Aren't I? Am I safe? Oh my God, stop. Maybe I should have kissed him last night. Perhaps I should have closed the distance between us and took what he wouldn't. But why would you do that? Because I treated him with suspicion and rage? I didn't trust him or his words, but it didn't mean I shouldn't apologize. So your kiss would have been a charity? Yes, no. Ugh, I don't know. It would have been a token of my gratitude. A kiss, no matter how chaste or half-hearted, was an agreement that I trusted him enough to get close, press my mouth to his and let him hold me. He could so easily have pulled my hair, forced me to speak, drowned me for all he cared. But he didn't. He held me safe with no pressure, even though his erection pressed against my belly, hard and throbbing with things I wasn't strong enough to survive. Unable to withstand my colliding thoughts, I whipped out the notepad and pen. Dear no one, is this my life now? Riddled with questions and doubt. I thought the moment I was away from Ulrich things would be easier, not harder. A loud clunking noise wrenched my head up. My heart donned her sneakers and took off sprinting. I dropped the pen as a lifetime of worry and self-preservation kicked in, expecting the worst. Whatever progress Elder had made with me was deleted with that one sharp bang. Ulrich's face sprang into my head, laughing and cruel. It took all my willpower to stay seated on my bed and not hurl myself to the floor and my knees. It came again. Clunk, clunk, clunk. Clutching the sheet, doing my best not to slip into a panic attack, I glanced around the room. There was no tyrant ready to beat me, no werewolf in the shadows. Wait. I tilted my head. I recognized that noise. A chain. The metal links clinked together in an awful remembered time when something similar was used to string me up. Only, this wasn't a small chain, but massive and lots of it. The anchor, maybe. Climbing out of bed, I darted to the door only to notice I was naked, like normal, and not suitable for gallivanting around an investigation. Jogging back to the haven I just climbed from, I grabbed the sheet, not carrying my unfinished note to no one scattered on the floor, and wrapped it around me. Racing back to the exit, ensuring my temporary clothing covered the right places and didn't flutter open, I charged down the corridor and up the flight of stairs, rather than take the lift. I'd been on Elder's ship for over a week. In that time, I'd battled against recovery, then given into it. Once I rested and ate correctly, my body had taken full advantage. The bruises were still there, only now more green moss rather than purple thunderstorm. My broken hand was still bound with a plastic cast and bandage that I'd replaced after my swim last night. However, I hadn't tethered my ribs again, and a minor twinge let me know I probably should have. My muscles had regained enough mobility to propel me upward, not just skin and bone anymore, but tentatively filling out as if afraid the slight curves would be punished for showing health. I panted and puffed by the time I climbed onto the top deck and squinted in glorious early morning sunshine, but I didn't collapse on a broken heap. I was getting stronger every day. Thanks to him. As if thinking about him, Elder materialized, standing on the deck with a cup of coffee in his hands. He wore faded jeans with a white t-shirt and casual linen blazer slung over his shoulders. My gaze drifted down to his feet, where masculine toes were free thanks to thin black flip-flops. He didn't notice me. Or then again, maybe he did, but enjoyed me staring at him as much as I enjoyed doing it. What time had he woken to be showered and dressed and so damn immaculate? Striding forward, my sheet billowed behind me, doing its best to snap and vanish in the warm breeze. Stopping beside him, he glanced in my direction.
Morning.
I merely widened my eyes and gawked at the view. He was no longer the center of my attention. The open sea had miraculously changed from open horizon to busy, dusty port.
Morocco.
Elder said, offering me his coffee. I held up my hand, automatically refusing his gift. My tongue was doing much better, but I didn't want to undo that healing with scalding coffee. He smirked.
You're getting more comfortable with me, Pimlico.
I gulped. He's right. I hadn't thought twice about reacting. Breathing through my cymbal-smashing heartbeat, I ignored him as the sun glittered on trucks and cranes and the mania of a working harbor. He chuckled quietly.
First you're disappointed I didn't kiss you last night, and now your body language speaks before you can censor it.
Raising the mug to his lips, he deliberately licked them before sealing them around the porcelain. His throat contracted as he swallowed a mouthful of caffeine.
If I didn't know any better, I'd say you're beginning to trust my promise.
I don't know what you're talking about. I kept my eyes glued on a crane hauling a container into the sky. It didn't stop him from muttering.
My promise that I won't hurt you.
I didn't know if he'd ever hurt me, but with fresh energy came clear-headedness and confidence to face whatever came next. My anger had given me a backbone, but his peace had given me sanity. I turned to face him. I didn't know why. To finish what we started last night. To surprise him that maybe I was disappointed and ready to play his game. Elder's gaze locked onto my mouth and every electrical spark between us fizzled with fireworks. I stopped breathing as my stomach became master of my body, clenching an answer to the dark question on his face. I didn't know what I wanted anymore. I didn't know what he was doing to me. Either kiss me or stop. A handsome older man interrupted our moment, his eyes crinkling against the sun's brightness.
The anchor is in position. She's all put to bed, sir.
Our connection severed like taut twine cut with scissors. I sucked in my first inhale in so many heartbeats. Elder cleared his throat, tossing the remaining coffee overboard, an arc of brown liquid splashing in the small gap between the dock and the ship. He showed no sign of being affected by whatever had happened. A large gangway cracked open the shell of the Phantom a few decks below us, extending to the mainland, ready to disembark. Elder said,
Excellent. Thank you, Jolfer. We'll wait here until we hear from you. We have mooring rights for 72 hours. We won't need that long.
Elder placed the coffee mug on a bolted down table by the railing.
Tell Seelix to drive out and meet us by the West Warehouse. Us, sir?
Jolfer's forehead furrowed.
You're not going alone?
Elder turned to face me, his eyes black and guarded.
Not this time.
He held out his hand.
Pimlico, this is your first choice of many.
I froze.
Be my guest. Explore an exotic city. Come meet a member of the royal family and begin to live a little. Or stay. Simple.
I jolted back a step. Me? Allowed to wander with strangers, inhale aromatic flavors, and meet royalty? Wasn't I his possession? Shouldn't he keep me hidden on his ship, far away from the prying eyes of people who might see what I was and rescue me? Rescue you from what? Him, of course. The thought of running the moment my feet touched land filled my heart with helium. I could vanish from this helter-skelter city and be gone. Elder laughed, his hair gleaming like a crow's wing in the sun.
If you come with me, fair warning, I won't put you on a leash. You'll be treated like a human being who is there of her own accord. But if you run, I won't stop you.
I sucked in a breath. What?
I won't stop you because I don't have time to chase an unappreciative brat.
He stepped forward.
You know enough to decide if you want to stay with the devil you know or sprint to one you don't. Realistically, it would be better for me if you did run. You'd be off my ship and out of my life, and I could go back to the way things were.
His eyes shone with a fury I rarely saw.
I miss my regimented existence, Silent One. Don't think you're the only one struggling with this arrangement.
If you're struggling, why take me in the first place? Elder rubbed his mouth with the same fingers that made me origami gifts and stroked me in the sea.
For now, you're my responsibility, and it's up to you to decide. First, you make the choice to come with me, yes or no. Then, if that choice is yes, you make another choice.
His fingers looped sensually around my elbow, dragging me forward a step in a purely dominating move.
You come, and you agree to return. Running will only get you killed, especially in this country. You're a white female with no money, passport, or voice. Do you honestly think you'll find safety?
My chin came up. I might. Not all men are monsters. He pursed his lips.
Are you willing to risk what I'm offering with the hope that someone out there will take pity on you, buy you a plane ticket, track down your mother, and send you home?
My body froze as he stepped closer until his flip-flops brushed my bare feet.
People want to be good, Silent One, but they're lazy. The novelty of helping you...